Today we reach the end of our sermon series. For a total of, for some, that may be a blissful joy. For others, there you go. A total of 6 weeks, we will have explored this idea of the dominion of God, the so-called kingdom of God. And it was through parable and story and example that the core message of what Jesus preached and proclaimed was this so-called kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven. The name changed back and forth. This revelation of the kind of world that God wants for us all. And he was not just painting a picture or making some promise about a blissful afterlife. It was not about life in the hereafter. It was a challenge for people to live differently in the here and now. And if we are paying attention, we notice that everything in the world is not exactly as it seems it should be, not exactly as we think God would want it to be, or even we want it to be. Violence, poverty, oppression, injustice, the destruction of our beloved creation. We yearn for a different kind of world. And the good news is that throughout the biblical tradition, we're given this image of God's vision and promise for a different kind of world. The kind of world that captives are set free, that exiles come home, that the marginal and excluded become the chosen, and one who is dead can rise from the grave. The dominion of God. What the world can be like when the power of God is fully in charge, more than any other power, not just in the hereafter, but breaking into the here and now, an alternative world, next to, behind, alongside, right here and now. But how do we get there? There are, it seems, multiple ways of entering, many doorways into this kind of world, but they're not always where we expect them. So, to quickly recap, for those who have not been here, or for all of them, we went through 5 doors before today. The first one we entered through the door called changing room. Let go of the things that don't fit or don't work and put on the things that you need. Push. Don't give up when the going isn't easy, because the only way to get through is to go through. Waiting room. Even if we're eager and feel ready, it may not arrive exactly when we expect it, and it may require that annoying spiritual practice of patience. Caution. A reminder of that primary spiritual practice to slow down and pay attention. And last week, it was through the door called employees only. Be doers of the word, not just hearers. Be a co-creator with God in bringing about this healing and repair of the world. And today, one final door. Do not block. How many impediments do we place in the way of spiritual movement? How many stumbling blocks to spiritual transformation? Do not block. The passage from the Gospel according to Mark that we hear this morning contains one of the short, memorable sayings of Jesus, and different authors of the different Gospels place this same saying in different settings. Matthew, for example, uses it when it follows the scene of Jesus inviting a child to come forward and using that child as the example of the simplicity needed to enter the kingdom of God. Luke places it after the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, which followed a teaching on the law as contrasted to the values of this kingdom of God. And here in Mark, it's after the disciples are fretting about someone who wasn't one of them, wasn't one of the in crowd, that was doing good in Jesus' name. But in each of those cases, this was a stern warning that was addressed not to the adversaries of Jesus, but to the followers, his closest followers, his dearest friends. Do not put a stumbling block before one of these little ones, For it would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. Those are some pretty strong words. Even though in one of the settings it does involve children, this phrase, quote, little ones, anuim, is the original word, does not likely refer to actual children, but the, quote, little ones was apparently an expression that those first followers of Jesus, and maybe even Jesus himself, called his first followers the little ones. So these words of warning are for any would-be follower who would impede or prevent others from sharing and experiencing the love and touch and the transformation of the Spirit of God. Don't we know something of stumbling blocks? What kind of conditions, expectations, requirements, litmus tests, shibboleths, or just plain old baggage gets placed in the way of the spiritual path of others, even in the way of our own spiritual path? Rigid dogma, narrow doctrines, death-dealing teachings, broken beliefs, words spoken in ignorance, mean-spirited actions, heaped on from the outside, piled up on the inside, sometimes even by those who profess to follow Christ, stumbling blocks so high that the door, the path, the way to the realm of God is hopelessly blocked. You may recall there is a famous picture, probably early 20th century, picture of a very sweet Jesus standing in front of a closed door and knocking. Anyone remember seeing that picture in different settings? Jesus knocking at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and dwell with you. Well, it makes me wonder if the Holy Spirit of God is standing at the door and knocking, asking to come in, how much stuff do we need to move out of the way to get to the door to open it? How long is it going to take to get that all moved out of the way, even to reach the door in order to open it? I remember it was more than 30 years ago now that I experienced my first clear and vivid call to ministry. I was 18 years old, and I was at home during the summer after my freshman year of college. Now, I had always been involved in church in my childhood, but when I went away to college, I began the coming out process. And I began what I call that seesaw of, oh, I can be gay, but I can't be Christian. I can be Christian, I can't be gay. That kind of back and forth. And I remember that summer, I have no idea why, but I was driving from rural Sarver in western Pennsylvania to the big city of Pittsburgh. I don't know why I was going. I was driving down the expressway in 1976 burnt orange Chevette. That's sexy, isn't it? Sexy. Okay. And while I was driving down the expressway, I have no idea what was on my mind, but for the first time in my life, I heard the voice that was not the voice in my head talking and said clearly and directly, I want you to be a minister. I laughed out loud, looked up and said, well, you know I'm gay, that's not gonna happen. No, really, that was my immediate response. I heard it, undeniably the voice, and I immediately said, don't you know I'm gay? That is not going to happen. Not going to happen. I had not yet found MCC. I still had several more years of coming out to do. And it ultimately was 20 more years before I said yes to that call to ministry. I have no regrets, really, about the life experience and the rich education I accumulated in those 20 years, but I sometimes wonder, how might my life or ministry have been different had I said yes 20 years earlier? Thankfully, God and I didn't give up on each other. Maybe it just wasn't the right time. But I kind of suspect it took me a good long while to move some baggage from in front of the door. Stumbling blocks to the realm of God, the world, and the life that God desires for us all get heaped up from religion, from culture, from other people, from painful life experiences, and we can trip over them in all kinds of places. Last month, our church board of directors received a proposal which we began deliberating at this most recent board of directors meeting last week. And we received the proposal to designate our church restrooms as gender-neutral restrooms. They are currently designated as one for men and one for women, the only two restrooms in this building. Now, Portland actually has instituted an ordinance that in any new construction, there must be a gender-neutral restroom provided. That does not apply to us, a 103-year-old building, of course. But it also follows an experience that many of us had at our recent MCC conference in Chicago, where all of the restrooms on all of the floors where we had our MCC activities were designated gender-neutral. There were signs covering up the gendered signs. So 1,500 MCCers practiced for a week gender-neutral restrooms in which anyone was welcome into any restroom. I can see some people are getting a little worried. But we received this proposal, which we are deliberating seriously about what to do. On one hand, let's consider people who are transgender or otherwise gender nonconforming don't neatly fit into those two categories. Pick one. Choice A, the stick figure with two legs. Choice B, the stick figure with one leg and a skirt. Does anyone really fit into that category? Very conveniently. Now, often, someone who is gender nonconforming or trans can't enter a restroom of either or choosing without facing fear of being verbally judged and physically harassed in some places. So on one hand, gender neutral restrooms are really an issue of bringing our signage and our practice into harmony with what it is we say we value around the full welcome and full inclusion of trans folk and all of us. And it's not that simple. Because on the other hand, I recall a conversation I had years ago with a friend and a colleague who transitioned from female to male, and we had several restroom-related conversations. As well as commenting on the disparate cleanliness between a men's room and a women's room, what he mentioned that had never occurred to me before, that in fact he missed from his experience living and growing up as a woman, was a women's room was always a women's only space for many women, an oasis that was free from men in a male-dominated world, a safe place, an actual room of rest. Because life experience and enculturation has enabled the women's room to be a kind of sanctuary from male presence, which still today, we must be honest, is all too often intrusive, unwelcome, and too often violent. It is not so simple. Whose safety is more important? Justice for whom will prevail? What stumbling block needs to be removed or block overcome to step through that door? It's more than just the sign that does or doesn't appear. When I think of this sign, "Do not block, keep clear at all times," I'm reminded of TV shows that I occasionally catch, like Clean House, or even Hoarders, which I will occasionally watch and be dismayed at how much I have to resist that impulse myself. Those of you who have seen my office realize that there are things that accumulate in my office. But this you can ask my mother about how my apartment looks in contrast to my office. And one of the things that you learn by watching these stories is that how much a life experience can impact whether someone accumulates things. Is it a manifestation of a psychological or emotional difficulty? But I would submit it is a spiritual condition as well, that we hoard and hold on and stack up stuff. And I would like to paraphrase Paul, it's for freedom that we have been set free. Why then do we keep stacking up stuff in front of the door? At any moment, someone may need to get out, someone may need to get in, and sometimes it is a life and death issue. I wonder which is actually the greater miracle of liberation, God parting the Red Sea so the children of Israel could pass from slavery to freedom, or God parting the ocean of obstacles we still create in order to set us free. Do not block. Always keep the way clear. Because at any moment of the Spirit's calling, you or I or the person next to you or someone we have yet to meet may need to pass through the door. Do not block. Someone needs to go through the door. Someone needs to leave the life and the world as they've known it and enter the life and the world that God is promising. Do not block the exit out of brokenness into healing. Do not block the door that leads out of despair into hope. Do not block because someone is ready to leave loneliness behind, to feel and take hold of the grace and love of God. Do not block because at any moment of any day, someone will need to go through to the promise of God that is on the other side. There are many doorways into the realm of God, entering into the kind of life to bring more and more into reality the world that God hopes for us. Call it changing room, push, waiting room, caution, employees only, do not block, countless more, perhaps endless numbers of them at each and every turn, when and where we least expect them. The realm of God is at hand. Will we go through the door and enter in?